It's already 7:04, so let me call the meeting to order. So can I ask, Sarah, can you please call the roll?
Ron Sherman?
Here.
Dan Lauber? Oh, here, Dan's in the waiting room, just a second here. I'll come back to him. Debbie Frederick?
Here.
Jim Flanagan?
Here.
Lydia Manning?
I'm here.
Dan, we're just doing roll call of Dan Lauber.
Here.
And Chairperson Vasquez.
Here. And let's see, do we have anybody who signed up for a public comment? I see one individual, a new individual, Jan Sager. Did you want to, Jan, I'm not sure if you're just participating, which of course you are the most welcome to. But I'm not sure if, do you have any, or does anyone have any public comment? Okay, hearing none. Then let's go with the approval of the minutes. Everyone should have had an opportunity to review the minutes. And so I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes and a second.
I make a motion to approve.
And I'll motion to second. They were brilliantly written.
Thank you. Is there any discussion regarding the minutes? If not, can we have a roll call?
Mr. Sherman.
Here.
Mr. Lauber.
Aye.
Ms. Frederick.
Yep.
Mr. Flanagan.
Yes.
Ms. Manning.
I approve.
And Chairperson Vasquez.
Yes. Thank you. I do have a sad announcement to make. Our other committee member, Chris Curry, submitted her resignation from the committee. She has some other personal reasons and activities she wants to join. She did also state that she thought that the process of this survey would have been a little more quick, well, would have been quicker. And so she said that she's leaving the committee in capable hands. And so she won't be, so that's what was her reason for resignation. And if she still said she'd be a friend of the committee. So if we want to touch base or if there's some limited capacity that she can help us with, she would be willing to do so. So with that, I know of two other people who may be interested in applying for this committee. And then of course, if all of you or some of you were privy to the last board meeting or two, people have been raising the issue of making the boards and commissions a little more transparent and a little more open. So there's some residents who will be meeting with the village staff about how and what suggestions can be made. And it's not limited to our committee, it's regarding all the commissions and all the advisory committees. So I know of the two people that I know, I think they're gonna apply. What I don't know is if there's gonna be recommendations to advertise or some other form to allow other people to know. I know Jan, for example, who's online, I've seen her being posting on Facebook, letting everybody know about each of our commissions that people can join in and apply if they want to. So so that's going to be undergoing. But in the meantime, I'm going to ask the two individuals who appear to be interested in joining our committee to just go ahead and apply, and then we'll see if there are others that are willing to apply as well. So, at this point, what I'd like to do, I know at the last meeting, we had some discussions about our survey, not only in terms of the preparation of our survey, but the process of the survey and the follow-up of the survey and what we were going to do, et cetera. But But one of the ideas that came out is I know we have two guests who are from the Austin Council who have gone through it, at least from their community. So we expressed an interest in inviting both Stephen and DeAndre to come and talk about how they did it, what they did, what maybe lessons they learned, what advice they could give us in terms of this process. So at this point, I'm gonna introduce, we have Stephen Robinson and DeAndre Routis, if I'm pronouncing that, I'm probably mispronouncing it, so I apologize.
Yeah, we're close. No, it's Routis.
Routis,
okay. Routis, but you're definitely close. Yes, thank you.
Okay, well, thank you. So DeAndre, if you don't mind, I'll call you by your first names, and I'm Russ. So DeAndre and Stephen, thank you very much for coming. I'm going to turn it over to the both of you. I don't know which one of you wants to start. And then, of course, let me ask this. Do you prefer we ask questions while you're talking, or do you want us to wait till the very end?
Probably it'd be better at the very end.
Okay. All right. So my group, but then we'll just wait till they're done. And then when they complete, then we can ask questions. Thank you. Okay. Is it DeAndre? Because I'm only saying maybe you because Stephen put himself on mute.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So what we did with our survey is, well, so first and foremost, I have to say, I am a master level IO psychologist. And so creating surveys for business development is something that I know how to do, right? I'm educated in that. And so for me personally, I kind of look at opportunities in communities as business-like opportunities to improve. And so basically to construct the survey, I looked at where we were having issues in our community and some ways that we can address it. But this particular survey was essentially born off of this idea that Steve and I collectively came up with in the regard of safety of our community. And so Steve was saying, well, there's really three components that comprise a safe community, and that's being caring, connected, and communicating with one another. And so from there, I just thought of some questions that would be useful to attain the information to see how connected is our community, how caring are they, and how often do they communicate? And so basically I created the questions off of those three constructs. And so I just made it simple because the one thing you don't want to do is have people answer a bunch of survey questions because that leads to burnout. So overall, it was, we just had simple questions, right? How old are you? Number one, right? You want to get the demographic. So we had two demographic questions, and I can't think of the other line.
I have a question if you want me to go.
Yeah, I don't have them in front of me.
Yes, I do.
Right, okay. So tell them about the, because there's three different columns. So we go, to the topmost left of each, it tells you exactly which one each is.
So you have your demographics, and then you go into, right, how old are you? How long have you lived in this area or in this house? We get into an engagement question, which says, you know, please rank in order of importance, 1 through 6. Six being the least important, 1 being the most. And it goes to identifying things such as safety, education, jobs, food, healthcare, and housing. Then we kind of ask the question again just to see where everyone's at, but in a different, slightly different manner. We say, what do you think needs the most attention in the community, the Austin community in particular, in specifics, safety, education, jobs, food, healthcare, housing, or other? And to kind of see if people trip up on it or if they're still on track with what they're really thinking. And then we get to a caring portion, which says, do you think it's important to be involved in the safety, upkeep, and development of your block? And that's a yes, no. And then we go through, how involved are you? And do you say that you are very involved in safety, upkeep, development of your block? not involved, somewhat involved, and so forth. We get to the final two portions, which is to connect, being connected. Do you think it's important to know your neighbors? That's a yes, no. And then it says, how many neighbors do you know on your block? You know, 1, 0, 1 to 2, 3 to 4, 5 plus. Now we get to the communicative portion. And it says, do you think it is important to have direct contact with your neighbors? Yes, no. And then again, how often do you communicate with your neighbors? Daily, once a week, once a month, or rarely? And then how would you describe your block? And how do you think your block can be improved? And then we ask, you know, if you wanted to, other information to add to a note, name, phone number, and email. And, you know.
I want to just add that I do want to add those last two questions were open-ended questions in which people could respond however they like to respond. So in total, there was about a total of 10 questions overall.
And we try to keep it down to a limit of about 3 to 4 minutes per person. But being that I've been in the community 30 years and with the organization, I tend to find people on blocks that I talk to a little longer and we dive in a little deeper, and DeAndre's down the street doing four more surveys by that time, you know?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I was gonna say I constructed the survey so it can last about 3 minutes to 3.5 minutes, because that's another thing that you want to avoid. You definitely want to avoid taking a lot of people's time. You know, they number one, they don't want to answer surveys already, so it can't be long, and in the regard of how many questions are asked, but then it also can't be long and how long you're gonna be in front of them.
But this is the odd thing that we noticed. We did much of the walking and going door to door on our own, DeAndre and I. But at one point, we brought in law enforcement officers. They wanted to walk and meet the community also. And for some odd reason, we thought that would be a problem, because it's like, first of all, we're cold calling, and then you bring a policeman to someone's door. So they're like, oh, maybe, what do we do? But what we noticed is our surveys went double when we were out with law enforcement. Now, I don't know if it just looked like we were a friendlier group, being that we were with policemen, and it's like, who are these guys? And they're with the police, so we want to get to know the police and get to know these guys. And like I said, literally our surveys went up double per block whenever we went out with law enforcement. Just some tidbits.
I also saw that I don't know if you want us to get into like the so once we got the responses, and so I use SPSS as a statistical analysis software. And so I took the responses and I did weighted averages against one another to find out what our responses were. And for the most part,
can't hear you.
Yeah, DeAndre, looks like we lost you. You were talking about the responses. You were looking at the responses, and that's the last we heard.
Well, I can kind of expound on it.
Okay, sure.
What he's trying to say is that after evaluating and looking at the responses, we kind of determined pretty much the premise was that most people valued safety more than anything, and we tried to predicate our actions on how we plan to heal the community and better the community based around that issue. One of the first things that we've actually done with trying to work towards the safety initiative in Austin, northwest corner of Austin, is we started with the program known as Light Up the Night. And the Light Up the Night program is literally where you go out and you illuminate the blocks with dusk to dawn lighting. It's given to them free. We actually had them installed, and we had to have at least 70% of the homes that would buy into the program. We talked with the police district to find out, you know, where are the hot spots? Where's the most crime? Which block? Maybe these are the blocks that need to be illuminated more, along with the city service lights. And we concentrated in those areas and work with law enforcement. They went door to door with us again, which really was a good thing, because as you may know or may not know, our community, Austin community, is starting to diversify. We have Spanish speaking individual families without the community. Actually, we found from the surveys that it's almost 20%, 20 to 25% Spanish speaking families. So there were some families I couldn't communicate with, but some of the officers were able to, which was great, because we found out what we really needed to do with the light of the night, with the lighting. And we went out and illuminated a couple of blocks. And I could tell you, there's one block in particular, it looks like downtown Chicago because of the lighting. And it, I mean, I don't want to say it's inviting for crime, but it's a very inviting block to drive down. I would think criminals would think twice about doing anything, because they have yard lights, porch lights, the city lights that overhang the streets and the sidewalks. And I counted over 28 homes out of a 34 block home of homes that had the lighting one night. And it was pretty impressive. So the idea with that is to try to create safety in the day and the night. And then we want to work on other issues with safety, like beautification, whether it be plantings and creating competitions with homeowners with, you know, trying to beautify their lawns or their front areas or the blocks in general. We'll create competition between blocks, which block is the most beautiful and the most inviting, and which we do know a beautiful block typically means a safer block, because criminal elements tend not to want to hang around, and they see that people are watching and taking care of their properties. What was the, I really need DeAndre on this one. He really fell off, didn't he? He got lost.
No, I'm back. I went through a dead zone. I'm back though. What happened?
I'm going to say, you know, DeAndre and I were supposed to go to Tom's Steakhouse tonight, but I'm like, I hope he didn't go over there without me now. Go ahead, D.
Oh, what else? What else? I feel like you pretty much covered it from what I was listening to when I came back on.
What about the second ranking, the second highest ranking out of the
six? Oh, okay. So our biggest issues in the community were safety, then jobs, and then education. So the way the reason why we rank those that way is because, like Steve explained, we want to take a hierarchical approach to our community, because we recognize that there are so many issues, and the hardest thing to do in our community is to get people together. So we thought that, especially, and that's what the purpose of the survey is for, so that you can have a concentrated, data-driven analysis of what are some of the most pressing issues. If we all feel like safety is an issue, we can attack safety, and then we move down a notch. Okay, now we can focus on jobs and then education. I know that's not perfect, and I know that a lot of these things need to be fixed at the same time if we can. It's just the amount of resources that come into the community and that's available does not allow itself to build in that way. So we just thought if we took the more strategic approach about it, then we could figure out how to properly get our, because first and foremost is safety. Nobody wants to come in our community if it's not safe. But then the second thing, obviously, is jobs, right? Which makes sense to the community, right? Like, how are they going to survive and thrive and grow ultimately if there are no jobs available? And then it's education, right? You have to have an educated workforce if you want a community to thrive. And so our community really reflected that. And for us, we just want to figure out, okay, we know that this is the issue, but in empowering our community, how do you as a community member take responsibility in this being an issue? And so that's basically what, again, our survey in several parts were created for, so that we could cover the issues, but then have a real data-driven analysis where our community members can say, oh, well, how do we figure this out together, you know? And
well, that's what it's about. Let's not forget the ultimate goal was to build leadership. You know, that was the real ultimate goal, because this all really came about from my years of being with Northwest Austin Council, some 30 years. And I looked over my shoulder and I heard about all the problems. You know, law enforcement's not doing this, community's not doing that, this, that, and the other. And I said, you know, in 30 years, this one particular 40 block area, I could tell you what's been happening. I could tell you where the bad areas are, the bad streets, and I can tell you where the block clubs are great. And then it dawned on me, the blocks that were great were the blocks that were tied together with four groups, four different leaders in a row. And I said, there's something about that. They stay connected, they're caring leaders, and they're caring blocks, and they communicate. I said, what if we can do that with the other 39 blocks or the other 36 blocks? And that's when we went out to find leadership. We really wanted to only find 20 leaders out of the 40 blocks. We ended up with 27. And now we're doing things such as leadership development, block club development, which is in turn really is community building. And that's what we want to do. We want to take this 40 blocks, do a checkerboard effect, go to the next 40 blocks, skip over 40 blocks, go to the next 40 blocks and train people and do it and try to get our city to where it should be. Block, well, 40 blocks at a time, not block by block, but 40 blocks at a time. So any, do you have any questions or?
Yes, I'm sure we do. We just didn't want to interrupt you. And well, DeAndre, were you going to say anything else or should we start with questions if you're?
No, you can ask questions, please.
Okay.
Really, really quick, DeAndre, wait, I want him to expound on age. Expound on the age groups because we did find a lot about regarding age, and I'll let DeAndre explain that a little.
Well, the biggest thing that we found out about age is that nearly half of just that 40 blocks is anywhere between 55 and older, right? Which means that within the next 10 to 20 years, depending on which demographic they fell in, that those houses are going to become available. And the one thing that we really recognized about our community is that those houses are going for cheap in some respects. And so we see an issue because as we're trying to create leadership and sustainability overall, what we see a change within the next 10 to 20 years and where the community is definitely gonna look differently than it currently constructed. And so we see an opportunity where we could potentially save some houses by talking to the neighbors and getting them to understand that this time is coming and trying to help them figure out some plans. So. Right.
And also what we're finding with the older homeowners that have been in the community 20, 30, 40 years, They have other needs. Like we've been feeding people we've been giving out over what? 5 tons of food, you know, 10,000 pounds of food in over 6 months. We do a food giveaway every Wednesday. There are so many individuals that's like, you know, can you bring it to our homes? And those that can't come out, we try to drop it off or we'll get that's part of the leadership deal. When we get the block club leaders, we try to empower them and get them the food, get those individuals the food so they can pass it out to the seniors on the block so it wouldn't hurt our resources. You know, we're working at a small group right now, capacity. So that's what it's all about, just kind of helping each other, helping, you know, one guy helps the other, which is a whole nother thing because we're involved with a guy named Barry Corin out of Oak Park. That has the time exchange, and we're really pushing time exchange initiative in Austin.
Can I, then I'm gonna open up. Do any of the committee members have questions for, go ahead, Jim.
Just a simple question. How many surveys did you guys actually complete and what is the time?
We literally have, these are the actual surveys. We have almost 300 surveys. We actually went to about 1,200 or 1,500 residents, but with the apartments, we probably come out to about 1,500 individual residents. It took us, we started the beginning of August and we completed it by the end of October, the first week of November, no later than we were done. And we went out, how many days? 2 days a week. We went out 2 days a week for-
We went out 2 days a week. We got 236 total surveys.
236, there you go.
Yeah, it's 236.
So Go ahead, Perez, I've got a question.
Sure, Ron.
Stephen and DeAndre, did you do it all in person? Did you do any mail surveys or online or anything? Because we're confused about what to do.
We did it all. We went door to door, literally 2 days a week for about 3 hours at each time. So 6 hours a week, basically. And we went door to door, block by block.
And DeAndre and Stephen, how many? Was it just you, the both of you? Besides the police officers, or did you have a team?
We were literally the team.
Okay.
He was the legs. I'm a little bit older than him. I would send him up the stairs because many of the bungalows, you know, and some of the properties have 6, 7, 8 stairs. I'm like, you go up the stairs. And then also we were passing out PPE, you know, hand sanitizer and face masks to all the individuals that wanted them. And we were really trying to be cautious because, you know, that this was over the summer and the pandemic was still kind of going on. We did run into 3 people that actually had the virus in the community. And they told us, you know, we could talk from this door and you guys stay down at the bottom, which we respected that, rightfully so. And it worked out. You know, we didn't get, and one of the guys that actually got the virus, we ran into him in the community. He was a census taker. And he told me where he lived. And I said, hey, when you go out, we can meet up. You can come with us. When we made it to his block, he said, hey, don't come in. Guys, you remember me? I'm like, yeah, we remember you. He's like, I got the virus. You know, I can't. You know, come out. But yeah, it's an eventful thing. Like I said, we really want to do this. People have been all over the West Side. They've been reaching out to me like, Steve, when are you going to come over in Lawndale? Steve, when are you going to come over in Garfield? I'm like, we really got to checkerboard this whole idea. You know, we want to train people. It's not that hard. You just have a little manpower behind you. Create the survey, ask the questions. And believe it or not, most people are not as bad. You know, we didn't have any individuals just like that were flat out mean or just didn't want to, you know, be bothered. Everyone was pretty inviting in the most case. You know, I can't remember one individual was just like, you know, I don't have time for you.
So can I ask this? You mentioned you went to probably about 1,200 homes approximately or above that, but you got 236 responses. Is that because the others weren't home
this is the time of day we went. We went, what was it, DeAndre? Was it 4 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the afternoon?
No, we were going basically about 2. It was roughly about 2 to 5 because I would leave and break off and do census. So it was like 2 to 5. But and the thing was, you know, this was kind of, it wasn't necessarily during the height of the pandemic, but it was in July. So so people either weren't at home or they just didn't want to come to the door.
Okay, and just one more question, at least for my part. You mentioned the software. Did you download all the responses in some Excel or spreadsheet, and then did software just spit it out what the common responses were?
So you're definitely going to have to do that. You're going to have to put it in one or the other. You could do Excel, or you could put it directly into the SPSS software. So, yeah, I had to physically put all of the data in. I didn't put it into Excel. I put it directly into SPSS, and you have to label it correctly. You have to put the correct values in terms of what you're looking for and how you want to analyze it, because there are several ways that you can go with the analysis process. So, yeah.
Dan, go ahead.
DeAndre, since you've got all the skill with SPSS, which has always mystified me. I was hoping you could share your phone number and email address so I could get in contact with you afterwards.
Sure. My telephone number is 773-543-5968.
Okay. Email?
And my email is my name. So DeAndre, D-E, O N D R E R U T U E S at gmail.com.
Okay, great. And are you able, does SPSS allow you to do, what's it called? Cross hatching between questions and.
It's a good question. What exactly would I be looking for with cross hatching? I got to refresh my mind with that one. I want to say, though.
Yeah,
it depends.
Mm-hmm. It's relating different answers from different questions and then breaking them down by how people answered one question.
And okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So you could break it down. So you could take income levels, for example, and take
a question and break it regression. Down
by their income levels.
So yeah, like a regression almost. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
Good.
Right now I'm in a stats mindset. I'm still a student. So right now we're doing ANOVAs and regression. So I haven't done the cross-hatching thing in a minute. but I know how to do it though. So.
Okay, cool. Good. Thank you.
Another thing I wanted to add, since we did take all this data, it's been an opportunity for us to look at, like, for instance, the light of the night. The individual that came, that DeAndre ran across, her organization is called, it's MECRO, Middle East Side Community Resource Organization. It's located on site, actually, they're by South Shore Country Club in the South Shore area. And we were kind of like their test pilot for this program because she knew we had data and they didn't, and they wanted to get 100 homes, DeAndre, for this program. So we like, we could do this because we have.
We need 70%. We were looking for 100 homes.
Right. And they knew that we had leadership, and what you needed to have was their email, the okay to put, come onto their property, the okay to give them the lighting and install it. And what else was there? Phone number and address, right? And name. So being that we had leaders already, it kind of cut the time down from going to door to door to door to try to retrieve this information. And I think, what was the total number of homes? We did 86 or something like that?
Yeah, we completed 83.
83 installed. And that was all within a 7-day period from actually meeting with Cy Lewis. Susan Cy Lewis, which is the director over at MECRO, on a Sunday, and we were installing lights by Monday, the following Monday. Well, I'm talking 2 Mondays later. So this data is great. Another thing, honestly, it's going to help us a lot with law enforcement. Law enforcement called me out yesterday to do a walk up and down the block because they had an incident. And they were like, Steve, can you bring some of that data? Because we need to talk to some people, you know, and you know them, and maybe we can call them. I said, sure, let me bring the information. And I identified the people that, you know, we had, and we did door-to-door knocking to kind of get some information and to give resources to people on the block if needed. And I'm learning more that this data that we compiled will be used in that 40 blocks and other 40 blocks for a multitude of things. I just got a call from one of the leaders. He wanted me to tie him in with the superintendent. And I'm like, I'm not going up the chain that far, but I mean, we can talk to the deputy chief, which I've already reached out to the deputy chief about, you know, a couple of issues. But yeah, this data is really the bread and butter of all of it. You know, it tells the whole story. It's real time. It's what you think may be there, but it proves from you know, someone's mouth and from their own vision and their own head what is actually going on.
Okay. Does any of my any committee members have additional questions or any question? Go ahead, Dan.
I just got to apologize. I should have said cross tabulations rather than cross hatching. I apologize for the misuse of the term.
No problem. Okay. I find that's interesting about information. By the way, my background is I'm a design manufacturing, industrial, and mechanical engineer with 30 years in the industry. And I'm my premises are always based on processes, procedures, you know, and layouts. So all of this is, to me, it's kind of looking at things from a layout perspective, the process and what's the next procedure. How do we build from this procedure? What do we back, you know, what we need to redevelop. DeAndre's more, you know, psychological and what have you. And I'm like, you know, let's build it. Let's build it.
Okay. You guys have just done a fantastic job. Yeah. Great to see, especially when it's just a couple of you and you look around, you're like, where are the rest of the volunteers? But you got to lead. And so to do that and to get down into what you did, like you said, it's got tremendous value. So congratulations and enjoy Tom's Steakhouse. Don't wait too late to go. Don't stick around to the end of this meeting if you don't want
to. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, okay.
Well, let me just answer to one quick answer to that question when you said more support. Well, what we're doing is we're developing younger people to support us. You know, we really need the help with the youth so that we can support the older individuals in the community. And it was kind of my idea again, because I've been with Northwest Austin Council since 91 when I was 25. And I was always the youngest guy on the board. I was always the youngest guy raising his hand and being shot down. And I'm like, DeAndre, we need to develop a young board. You know, DeAndre's one of the younger members, but I'm reaching out. I'm grabbing those 28-year-olds, those 30-year-olds, those 25-year-olds. And we're developing a younger board of Northwest Austin Council to implement the things that need to be done to support the youth and the seniors in our community. Because the seniors are really, they really need the help.
No doubt. Thank you.
Okay. Sounds good. Anyone else with a question? But if not, both DeAndre and Stephen, thank you very much for coming on, giving them some advice, sharing what you've gone through, and the issues and advice. So again,
can I ask? Sure. I do want to ask you all a question. What exactly are you trying to obtain from? What information are you trying to obtain?
Well, that's it. That was what our meeting today is. What exactly do we want? We're focusing on a few topics. Well, let me put it this way. We're focusing on a number of topics. So one of the concerns we're going to be dealing with is the point that you just raised about having a survey that's 3 minutes. Right now, with the topics that we're looking at housing, we're looking at, neighborhood facilities and transportation to some extent. So they're all like, there's about 8 separate topics of which, mm-hmm. you know, we can probably ask a minimum of 10 in each topic. So mm-hmm. just looking, I mean, we each took one of them and we're at pretty much almost like 47 minutes. At if we ask all the questions, yeah, I know. We know it's too much. And so we're trying to dwindle it down. So your 10 questions will be somewhat challenging for us because what we're really trying to do generally is to ask our seniors, what do you need? What do you need in terms of housing? What do you need in terms of services? What do you need? And it's really generally what are the needs that you have and trying to drill down to that. So that's generally what we're doing. And, it's obviously we're running into trying to condense it at a certain point. And so.
Okay. Yeah, I get that. I get that. Yeah.
So
DeAndre and Stephen, the point that our group is at right now is trying to figure out how are we going to get our survey down from 47 minutes to maybe 4 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And how are we going to, Dan, put your hand down. So, and how are we going to deliver it? Are we going to go door to door? Are we going to do email, telephone? We haven't figured that out yet. Mm-hmm. So we've got a ways to go. But I think your approach, you had 10 questions, 10 or 12 questions. That's about all I'm willing to answer myself.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm an old guy. So I don't want to spend 47 minutes answering some survey.
Oh, yeah. Survey burnout is real because you get asked surveys everywhere now. It is real. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, my God, yes.
And you know, Deontay and Stephen, I do have following up with sort of Ron, a couple of questions. Number one, you decided to do door by door. Did you do any mailings? Did you do any mailings or was it all door by door?
It was all door by door because we didn't understand the sophistication of our clients, meaning that a lot of seniors, are you really able to use email? Are you using email? You know, mail, we know they could, but then the other thing is now we got to supply them with a return stamp, you know, because we're not going to tell them to mail this back and put your own stamp on it. So now we have to have resources for that, which we didn't. And, you know, we looked at everything that it would take. And I must say this to you. You have to use all the techniques and means that you can come across. If you have to use mail, you know, mail, if you have to use the internet as a means, door to door, you might have to get a couple volunteers just to go do, you know, to catch those individuals that you may miss. But for us, you know, like I said, we kind of knew a lot of these. I did. I could be honest with you. In that 40 block area, I probably know 300-400 people. I know.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you for that. If you just one general question, if you would have done anything differently, what would it have been? Or are you pretty much confident you would have done the same thing again?
I think I would have got a little bit more buy-in from law enforcement and had them walk with us every day because we would have increased our surveys. I'm telling you, we noticed every time if we only got 7 surveys on a 25 home block, we end up getting 14 that day. Mm-hmm. And they kind of helped that they were really friendly officers with the new program known as the DCO program, District Coordinating Officer program. And we're part of that whole initiative known as Neighborhood Policing Initiative, NPI. It's piloted out of the 25th District on Grand and Central, and then they're moving it all over the city. So that helped, but I would have definitely brought law enforcement in so we could build community along with them.
Okay.
You know, one of the things that when it comes to doing surveys too, you have to have that psychologically what we call it. It's been a long day for me, but you have to have that gift. Basically, people will be more willing to do surveys if you give them something first. And the thing that we were able to give them is actually hand sanitizer and masks, because as we were doing the surveys, we were actually coming and to say that we're here, number first and foremost, to help the community, because we have this hand sanitizer and mask to give you. But we also want to ask you these questions because we want to create safer community. So it was easier to get buy-in to do the surveys once we had given the hand sanitizer and mask. And that's always necessary when you're dealing with people. Only three people didn't want to do a survey after we had given them hand sanitizer and masks. And of course, we didn't force anybody to do it, but I do recognize that psychologically, there's a link between when you give somebody something, they almost feel obligated to do something. So if you have the means to be able to give first, I would also suggest doing that.
And one thing I forgot to add, we talked to everybody in the neighborhood, the seniors, the middle-aged, the guys on the streets hanging out selling drugs. We talked to everybody and we got them to do surveys and you know, figure out what's going on, what's your need, why are you here, why are you doing this, you know, all of that. It was a different experience.
Okay, well, definitely this was quite helpful and informative for us. And again, Deandre and Stephen, thank you very much for spending your time, especially when we're keeping you away from dinner. So thanks again. And if there's any follow-up from us, we'll reach out to you and ask additional questions. And of course, if you have any questions from us in the future too, we're looking for, I think DeAndre and Stephen, you're going to be part of that neighborhood H collaborative, aren't you? That we're trying to start. Does that ring a bell? Is it?
No, that was the initial meeting that we had where we met you all, right?
Correct. So
yeah, I forgot how I got involved with it, but I'm willing to offer my support for things like that.
Then that'd be fine too. And so I guess what I'm saying is if you participate in that too, we will in River Forest, I know Forest Park, Oak Park, Maywood, it's all gonna be part of it. So we're trying to make this, especially with senior issues, trying to make it more regional. And I know you're the Austin Council is part of that too, from my understanding. So So we have mutual interests. Not just from today, but a partial. So, okay. All right. Well, thank you both. And
thank you for having us.
Our pleasure. Yeah, okay. Take care. Have a good
day. All right, y'all. Have a good one. Thank you so much.
We got to do that sirloin, man. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Bye now.
Okay. Bye-bye. Okay. So I don't know if anybody has any comments, or we can reserve them when we get to the point of talking about our survey. But let's see, our next agenda item will be for Lydia, if you have an update on the dementia-friendly reinforced group? No? Okay.
We're still on hold, waiting for everybody to be able to come out and be in the world and be trained. And so we decided to table it.
Okay.
But the website, everything is still happening. Materials are available. But we're taking a note from Oak Park and just waiting until we're
about. Okay, thank you. I know I attended the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Age Friendly Collaborative meeting on March the 4th. And Brad Winnick was there. He talked about an open call for technical assistance. I guess there's some funding that's going to be made available where he can actually participate and providing like technical assistance for municipalities who are, I guess, starting on age friendliness issues. And so he said he was going to be doing like trainings in different areas. And of course, one of the ones he mentioned, not us by name, but us in terms of the topic that he referred to and doing needs assessments, et cetera. So there may be some other topics that we can look at after we're done with what we're dealing with now. So he threw that out. There were some other municipalities that talked about their accessibility, their ADA plans, and what the issues they were running into. So I asked them, as always, to send me any slides or information that they were presenting. Unfortunately, sometimes by the time the meeting is, they have the slides there and we don't get them in advance. So once I get that information, I'd be happy to share it with our group, okay? So that was about it. I know we have old business, but I wanna go into new business because I think that's shorter. And there was a little memo that was provided in our packet. It's in the last page. It related to, I guess the Sheridan is the assisted living requesting from all the local municipalities or public bodies information or materials we'd like to provide for the residents who are going to be residing at the Sheridan. For us, we're just soliciting ideas from you. Is there anything specific that we should include, at least from our committee and our topics, that we can put in our little package from the village to forward over to the Sheridan for their residents? Yeah, go ahead, Lydia.
I think we could put together a really nice either pamphlet, or if it doesn't even have to be like a beautiful marketing material, but of all of like the the lifelong learning opportunities at the universities, dementia-friendly memory cafes, like all the stuff that we do with the libraries, the support for families. Like, I think having that be available to residents and their families in their welcome center or in their, when they move in, right, as part of almost like a River Forest welcome wagon, if you remember welcome wagon from back in the day. I think that would be a nice way to showcase, you know, all the offerings that we provide in terms of age-friendly, gerontologically inviting opportunities.
Okay, terrific.
And actually, the Sheridan should probably pay us to do that. They should give the village a kick back, right, to do some of their marketing. No, I'm kidding. But I think that we can really provide some really just some comprehensive information. I'm thinking about the diagram that Pam Mann put together for Dementia Friendly, all the services and all of that. I think we don't have to recreate anything, but I think we can compile and put together a nice like packet of information celebrating seniors. I would imagine the Sheridan would be involved in helping with the 60 over 60, right? For some of their residents, perhaps, I don't know. But
okay.
Just to jump in real quick, the other taxing bodies are putting together some materials as well. So Carla Sloan said that she is expecting something from the Township Senior Services, and she'll put something together. We've asked the library to contribute something as well. So we're just kind of thinking like a one page sort of thing from each taxing body. And then just, you know, whatever kind of ideas you guys have, I'm happy to put something quick together. Lydia, if you could let me know some of the resources that you're familiar with, that'd be great.
I'm just not sure that that's part of our committee's job. But Lydia, I like your ideas, but I'm like, where are we going with our survey?
Okay, and that's gonna be next. This was just a suggestion of what we could submit on behalf on the age-friendly issues, Ron. Not that it's not gonna be our responsibility to continue doing this for the Sheridan. We were just gonna put a packet from a lead village part, and then we would just send it over, and then it's the Sheridan to, you know, distribute to their residents there. So more like reaching out, this is who we are, this is what you can, you know, if you need assistance, these are the available services around here type of thing. So it was more.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, all right.
I would volunteer if Lydia would help. I mean, we've been on the senior committee for years. This is something that, you know, like we've got that 30,000 foot view. I think the power in a piece like this for somebody coming new in is not to try to understand the difference between River Forest Township, the Village of River Forest, the Park District, and what they provide, but one piece that says, what does River Forest do for older adults? And then it lists everything in you know, really in totality, from senior services to different groups and organizations. You know, it would not be a complete listing of spiritual opportunities, things like that, but it would list all the core services. And I think that's a piece that, you know, we always talk about it. And then this material gets created in our, my 15 year experience on that board is we always say, how can we still have all those boxes of those brochures? We can't give them away a day in our village, like not even to hold a hot dog. You know what I mean? So we always say no one wants to know about senior services until they need to know. And then they claim they never knew it even existed. So, Ron, I'm in your camp. You know, I think it needs to be done. I think Lydia and I can circle back with Carla Sloan and Pam Mann and not make it a big issue for us, but know that we've collaborated and you know, had a voice now.
And get us all a little delivery of chocolates from the
show. Yeah, we'll all get chocolate out of it. I guarantee that.
Yeah.
So thank you, Lydia, for spearheading that. I appreciate that.
Okay. And that sounds good. And that's all we were looking for. We weren't adding for continued work on this issue. So thank you. I appreciate that. Okay. So let's go back to the big issue that we're here for today. I'm back to the old business and our survey. I know people contributed what they did and they give it to Sarah. I do understand that busy schedule. So I know, Dan, you know, you provided your information after the packet went out. Jim, I understand you had some additional information as well. So hold that thought, because I also want to ask Lydia. She sent us what looked like another type of survey with a reading to it. So Lydia, I just want to ask you a question. When you submitted that, did you submit it as just additional information, or did you submit that like this is a good a survey that we can use, or, and if you can go into that? Or
when I sent the link to the special edition of all the age-friendly articles, right, that was open access, I know it was academic overload. And not that I expected everybody to read, I think, all 17 papers in there. But when I was going through with our first task that we were charged with, like, what is it that we really want to know with our respective topics? I was sitting with that special edition, really reading some of those papers, thinking for me, it was about community engagement, respect, kind of supporting older adults. And I came across the tool that I sent you, which was the Age-Friendly Cities and Communities Questionnaire. And so, not to belabor statistics and not to bore everybody, but the folks who came up with that questionnaire took all of the ARP materials and all of these long surveys and basically did a confirmatory factor analysis and validated and distilled everything down. And they argue in the paper and with the tool that in that short questionnaire, they can capture everything they need to know about age-friendly communities or cities. So my thought, and then hearing DeAndre and Steven speaking tonight about the importance of having a 4 to 5 minute tool for people to engage with, if the statistical analysis is sound and we can look through the process that these researchers went through to confirm these factors, if we can figure out in a short 23 item questionnaire whether or not we are an age-friendly community, and if not, where are our pain points, to me that seems like a efficient, affordable, viable, let's get it done tool that's been statistically validated that we can use then to determine, A, are we age friendly? B, if not, or if we need to be more age friendly, where are those areas in which we need to make progress? And then put forth recommendations for change.
Okay.
It's a different process. I mean, it's not us creating our own survey. It's not, a solid generalizable sample to the larger population, but I do believe in CFA confirmatory factor analysis from a statistical standpoint. So that was my suggestion. Okay. Maybe we should consider it rather than reinventing the wheel.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Dan, are you muted?
I appreciate what Lydia is seeking to do here. That's not our charge. We need to come up with guidance to the village based on information we can get from a valid sample of what seniors need here. Not just is it age friendly, but what do they need, and what can, as we talked about earlier, what can the village actually do about things? So I thought we were trying to stay focused on things that the village can actually do something about, not just gather information for the sake of gathering information. I'd also like to stress that surveys get good response rates when they take somewhere between 10 and 20 minutes to do, to fill out. I can tell you the Naperville survey, we tested it two times in groups of 20 to 30 people. Most people finished it in 13 minutes. So you can do a 40 to 45 question survey as long as the questions are simple and straightforward. We've got all these different areas that we were charged to look at, and they are going to require multiple questions to get anything useful for us to use, that the village will identify things the village can actually do something about and actual needs. Just housing alone is going to take around 10 or 12 questions. which will also, some of the questions, housing and demographics, I should say. And there are probably some other housing questions or demographics questions that might be appropriate here, but we've got to do something that's appropriate for the community. It can't just, really, you can't just go using somebody else's survey. I think we figured that out long ago, and we really need to be focused on, you know, what we need to know that can be useful for the village to actually do something, not just feel what, we're age friendly. What are people's real genuine needs that the village can do something about?
Okay, I'd like to respectfully disagree, Dan. I'd like to propose that the survey that Lydia sent us, that we use that. And that will point us in directions later for further exploration. Because we still have to think about, how are we going to get this survey out? How is it going to be answered? How are we going to analyze it? And while Dan, while I understand what you're saying about the depth of information, you know, it's already March. We're supposed to have recommendations by October. We need to start doing something. And how are we going to do this? Is it by email, mail, door to door now? I thought that was an interesting thought. But I'm like, we need to get off the pot. Or I'm off the group.
And go ahead, Jim.
Okay. Dan, too, I have some disagreement with respect to the statements that you make about our charge. Our charge was to determine, as an ad hoc age-friendly committee, how age-friendly the village of River Forest may or may not be, and what may or may not be desirable within the domains. While we agree that some domains are more important than others, I believe that this is a statistically significant, this is not just someone else's survey. This is a survey that was drawn out of a bunch of surveys. And I'm not saying that this survey couldn't be used. You say you could extend it 10 or 15 more questions in another 6 minutes. You could easily do that, actually have the statistical analysis of this data as well as the other component to this survey. So I would say don't discount this that quickly. And because it really, I guess as I went through this, I started thinking to myself, if we try to get down to the 5,000 foot level now, within housing or transportation, that's silly. We don't even know if those are the top of mind issues that we should be doing yet. So I really think that this is a great start, and it's statistical. The ability to analyze the data provided in the manner in which it's been researched is meaningful and can't be discounted. So I too would recommend at least building on this. There's obviously a bunch of demographic that's missing. And then maybe you could pick one area where you want to dive a little deeper. And then you've spent your 12 minutes or 20 minutes.
Okay.
Dan, I mean, Dan, there's got to be some compromise that you're willing to talk about.
Okay.
I would like us to come up with a statistically valid survey. From the beginning, I've been talking about doing it as a mail survey using the total design method from Don Dillman that gets us response rates in the 60% level, which is creates a very valid result. That, and we were talking all along about looking at things that would give us information that would be actionable by the village. This survey, while it's a very nice, sweet survey, it doesn't have a hell of a lot in here that's actionable by the village. And it's not telling us, and this is my big concern, whether seniors can continue to live here and what kind of housing they need. That's the number one question. All this other stuff's irrelevant.
No, Dan, that's your number one question.
Okay. Go ahead, Ron, let Dan finish and then
I'm troubled that we seem to be suddenly veering towards a quick and easy solution, because quick and easy solutions usually yield quick and easy and superficial results. And I appreciate the frustration Ron's feeling. I've been feeling the frustration too. I know Chris had been feeling the frustration, but we sort of were set adrift by the village board that didn't give us professional staff that knows how to do surveys and didn't give us any budget. And I think that we would be making a big mistake to just leap into some survey that doesn't give us a statistically valid result and doesn't give us information that we need, the village needs to determine courses of action that it can take. Seriously. I mean, I get annoying or negative remarks about my age or I face, you know, I cannot imagine what the village would be able to do about that. I don't think that's a terribly important issue for this kind of a survey. And if you look at all the surveys, all the other jurisdictions have done, they've been much more thorough than this. And they're focused on actionable information.
Okay, so I'm not gonna try to get people to fight, but so Danny, you're saying that this survey has no scientific value whatsoever despite Lydia's research.
I'm saying it doesn't have a whole heck of a lot of value to the village in terms of identifying actionable things the village can do to solve genuine issues that seniors face. It's nice, sweet information. Any survey can be statistically valid if you do it right, but it's not providing the sort of information that the village would need to do something actionable. That's my concern. And that's, you know, again, I stress it's not, none of the cities that we've looked at, the surveys that they've done are anything like this.
Okay, so Dan, let me ask you this question. And I was thinking about it even from the last time. So the issue I do have concerns with is the time that we are with the questions. And I think we even talked about the last time. You know, we talked about, do we break this the surveys in increments, because I will say that 47 minutes, and frankly, I think anything beyond 15 minutes, we're not going to get people to respond. Dan, come on, think about
Wait a second, Rez, yeah. Rez, please.
Okay.
We're not talking about a 160 question survey.
I said 47 minutes. I'm not even saying.
Not even a 47 minute survey. A 40 question survey, as I said, with the Naperville study, took people 13 minutes to do. People aren't dropping out when you have a 13-minute survey. You know, I'm just relying on the stuff I've read from Dillman and practical experience. People will do a survey that's 10 to 20 minutes. And if you got one about 15, they'll do it. They do it.
I won't do it.
Then you won't do it. Some people won't. Most people will. Overwhelming majority will.
Okay. Well,
according to you.
According to Dillman and other experts in the field of red. That's okay. All I can tell you.
You know, I appreciate that. And I'm just trying to keep the decorum. I mean, there's, well, and Debbie, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but you've been very quiet. So I'm interested in your opinion as well, if you want to give an opinion.
Yeah, I do. Because I say I'm the person that doesn't have any involvement in this other than I would be I'm good at taking surveys. And I do think there's a point where when you start, you lose interest if it goes too long. I've never counted the minutes I spend taking a survey. A lot has to do with the nature of the questions. A lot has to do how they pertain to me. I know a lot of surveys are your age, your income, and that I'm never interested in indicating that. How long I lived in a house, whether I own a house, right? But I have trouble wrapping around that people in River Forest, you know, whether sometimes you don't know when you're 60, whether you want to leave when you're 70, you don't. And I think it's, my thought was, this is the quality of life. We're looking for the quality of life. So I really don't know much other than I'm a survey taker, but I gotta tell you, I'm overwhelmed. Going through all of this was overwhelming to me. And I took most of these surveys, and this one here that Lydia has, it looks very technical and quick to me. I don't know if it looks like it's fun and exciting, but I think that's the length of a survey that I probably would embrace.
So Dan, Jim suggested looking at adding some, maybe some additional questions that you think that you could put as part of the housing. Is that accommodating to you, or are you still with the version? I'm trying to get some consensus. I have a feeling I may not. So, but I am concerned about the amount of time that people have to take the survey. And I am not, believe you me, I'm not the expert here in terms of issuing surveys or what the scientific data or statistics are. I am not doing that. I am not representing myself in that capacity. I'm just trying to get something out that our residents will be willing to take, and particularly the seniors, and maybe mm-hmm. 55 or 45 years and above. I understand that may be the age group. Mm-hmm. And trying to get that out so that we can, you know, we can try to at least get some responses going or something. And Dan, and this is with anybody else. I mean, so whatever we end up sending out, if there's something that pops up that we're going to need to do some follow-up, I think that's probably going to happen. But I don't think we're going to be able to get an encyclopedia of detailed information on all these topics with one survey, because then no one's going to take it. It's going to mm-hmm. be gone. So that's what people have been telling me, just in surveys in general. People have told me, who've given surveys. I am not, like I said, I'm not the expert to say whether this is true or not, but I just know the practical sense when people say, look, and they get a survey, they say, how long is it going to be? 5 minutes, 10 minutes? Oh, no, maybe I won't. It's people have their time that they consider and their interest. So this is just my general thoughts. So I didn't know if somebody else was going to say something.
Russ, can I add
something?
So I, in my mind, right, and looking at the AFCCQ, the Age-Friendly Cities and Community Questionnaire, when we were asked before, you know, and I think Sarah, you have these data, right? When each of us were given our own domain and we were asked to really to dwindle it down and think about what it is that we really want to know, and then what questions would we strike from the list? When I went through and did that for social participation and respect and inclusion, I looked at this and was like, pretty much those Q3 through Q8, sums up what it is that I was trying to think about, you know, what is it that we want to know, and then which questions would I ask to capture that. And so if this can distill down all of the iterations of the age friendly or the ARP age friendly surveying into a 23 item questionnaire that could be useful to us, I don't think there's anything prohibiting us from using this and then saying we know intuitively because we live in the village and we have worked with older adults that housing is important, accessibility and affordability are important. And we could take parts of the housing survey that Arbor West Neighbors compiled through interviewing and through the Learning Lab the committee that you worked on, and add to it. But I do think that this questionnaire did the work for us of all of us sitting down with our respective domains and trying to come up with a few questions that encapsulated what it is that we thought we wanted to know about age friendliness. So I wouldn't say I'm a survey expert, but I've spent enough time in quantitative analysis. I appreciate confirmatory factor analysis and also when it's validated and it's statistically sound. I mean, I don't know. I think it might be worth trying to think about this and an additional component rather than completely reinventing the wheel.
Can I add something to that too? In that when I did my analysis of the domains and I went through each one of them, and what I realized is I only came up with about two bullet points until I got to housing, and it was more like four. But each area, each domain was covered in some general questions about, like, you know, do you feel the services are adequate? inadequate, outdoor spaces and buildings. I had one. Do our outdoor spaces currently meet the needs of older adults in our community? You know, and maybe that's an open-ended question. If you could say, if not, how would they? But I started thinking how much, again, when we get that the must be actionable was something that was brought on by this committee and determined desirable by this committee and Ron Sherman in the beginning, which, I applaud. Like, you can't focus on things, but our charge was not only to focus on things that were hypothetically just actionable. I think the value of this information for our community and other communities, knowing, what we know now generally would be helpful. So we're not building a senior center or a new park district building, but it'd be interesting to see if people really felt that I feel like my needs are being met, so I would be interested to see if people didn't feel that way. So then, there's an inactionable action, we don't need to do anything per se right now to meet that need, outdoor spaces and buildings. But I really think that this is a starting point and does capture at least the ability. I call it almost like a self-assessment, so you could figure out where are we at and where do we start in terms of the drilling down, trying to make the empirical change. So that's all.
If you look at some of the questions in here, under community support and health services, for example, I mean, I'm at a loss as the relevance in River Forest. Supply of care and welfare in my city is enough for me. Care and welfare workers in my neighborhood are sufficiently respectful. People can be scratching their heads. What the hell are you talking about? I just got to emphasize, you just can't go and take somebody else's survey and use it in your community. It's not, this survey is, I don't think it's appropriate for River Forest. And I think that a lot of the things that people raised in the questions that they had narrowed it down to, while we have way more questions than we can use, are more focused on River Forest. And I think that's where we should be working from. If the committee feels otherwise, so be it. But I think I'll just say it, this is a waste of time if we did that, the survey. I really think it's just a waste of time. With all due respect, it's not going to give River Forest information that it needs to address senior issues. And we need information, we need to address senior issues in a concrete way. Otherwise, why go through the exercise? And I'm tired of this village going through exercises to look good. I think we need to deal with substance. And I don't think that this survey provides the substance that we need to provide, to give the village somewhere to go to make it progress. That's all.
All right. So here's what I'm hearing so far, other than Dan wanting to, it looks like Dan wants to go in the direction of where we were going with making more deep, and I'm paraphrasing, the amount of questions and fine tuning at least the combination of them that we have so far and trying to whittle that down is what I'm hearing, Dan. And then what I'm hearing from, and correct me if I'm wrong, what I'm hearing from everybody else is they want to use this AFCCQ and maybe build up some additional questions to it, but that this would be the framework that you guys want to work from. Am I correct with that? And I'm trying to look at everybody's faces. Okay, so far, Deb, are you in that camp? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I think it could be, the areas could be elaborated a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe the wording could be, the word, yeah.
Okay, so mm-hmm. Then it looks like from consensus, a majority, we're going to be working with the AFCCO frame document. We can either refine the questions that are there, and then Dan, it sounds like you can add some questions relating to housing on that area. I know it's not your perfect scenario, but do you want to do something along that lines, or at least adding the questions on the housing, or?
In the interest of compromise, we'll give it a stab. I would, however, suggest, as you said, the wording needs to be changed, and you've got to add a column for not applicable or don't know.
Okay, that's fair. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's fair, Dan. I think that's what I'm hearing is, but you using this framework, not exactly the way it is, but this would be the framework we'd be using. And so tweaking either the questions that are there, adding some questions, what I'm hearing from you on the housing. And then of course, if there's a column that we need, that we can add to that. That sounds fair.
Yeah, and be aware that some of the questions, especially related to demographics, are not gonna, you're gonna have to have a slightly, somewhat different format to answer those.
Yeah, that's fair.
And the demographics, as I pointed out in my memo that I sent out, have to come at the end.
At the end of the survey?
Yes, that's after people have invested. I gave you the figures with that Naperville survey. We had virtually no drop off on very personal demographic questions asking about income and such.
Okay. So, all right. So then we're going to use this framework. We're going to look at tweaking. And we can all do this because it's obviously a shorter assignment or more focused, looking at the questions, see if they can, should be rephrased. And what I'm going to suggest is, and I can't remember, Lydia, when you sent this, was it in an Excel spreadsheet or do we have to, okay.
It is a PDF.
Oh, it's a PDF. Okay.
I can send it. Sarah, if you want me to post it, I can post it in the.
If it came in a PDF, I can convert it to a Word document or something like that.
All right. Okay, great. Here's what I'm going to suggest. If you can convert it to a Word document, send it to all of us. And then that way we can propose refined changes to the existing questions and or adding additional questions in the respective category or domain. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, but remember the idea is, you know, let's not, and then of course we'll add the demographics at the end. That will be a separate one because that's not on here. So, and that's already done. So it's a matter of just putting some demographics at the back. So, okay.
Sarah, would it be easier to you for you if we use track changes?
Yes and no. I'm just afraid that I'll get a little unwieldy just to try to read everybody's track changes. So
so which way would you prefer it?
I guess the question that I have is how do we want to have everybody send me their changes and then I just distribute like a compiled version of all of those, or
you know,
I just don't want to try to figure out like it, you know, make your make assumptions about what everybody's looking for in each question and try to send that back out.
It's almost like I wish we had like a Google document that we just, all you had to do was make one Word document. We all have access to it. And that each one of us can, for example, if I just taking the first one, question number one, my house is accessible to me, leave the original there. I would put my question right underneath the revision and maybe with my initials at the beginning of it. And then you would see RV, my apartment is accessible to me, or whatever the question is that I would ask that would show the revision. And then, you know, Ron Sherman would be RS, and then he would go maybe with question five and just revise that one. But it would be his initials and then the question he would ask. And we would do it in each one. So if we all want changes on Q1, just put our initials at the beginning and then with the question that would be there. And we would see each other's proposed questions or revisions And then it'd be easier for us to deal with, like, we're all going to be dealing with question one. And I would assume if no one revised question one, they're fine with the question the way it is. But then we would all see it. And then Sarah wouldn't have to try to move this and that around. I mean, but my question though is, do we have the capability of a Google document that we can all go to or something to that effect?
Rez, my concern would just be that there might be a potential Open Meetings Act violation if we're doing something like that.
Okay.
So what we could do instead, you can do the same thing, and then I'll send out everybody's, like a table or something. I don't know if we liked the large spreadsheet that I was using before. I don't know how to use that. Whatever is easiest to look at is fine. I'm happy to do that. Putting things together. I just don't want to create the question.
Okay. Here's what we're going to do. Number one, you're going to convert the document to Word. Okay. And as members have their perspective changes, send it to both Sarah and myself. Sarah, you comprise it the way you've been doing with an Excel spreadsheet. What I will do then is as I get people's questions or whatever, I will then do it the way I'm suggesting to be done, but I'll take care of doing that. That way I'll prepare a Word document that's gonna show everyone's questions the way I suggested. And then we'll have both versions on it, and people can use whichever one or both in terms of reviewing. Because I would like to get this done. And what I'd like to do is, if it's possible, can we get this done with your suggestion? And I'm going to look at Dan because he's the one who seems to be the toughest schedule. Because what I'd like to do is get these documents to everybody as far in advance before the next meeting so you can look at what those changes are. So, the next meeting, very quickly, it's not, I know our agenda said March 10th, but that was a typo. When is our next meeting scheduled? What's the Wednesday?
April 14th.
April 14th, okay. So let's do this. April 14th. If people were comfortable in terms of, if we give you a completed full document with everybody's results the week before, would that be sufficient time? Because then, and if not, you want more time, then that just cuts the time for everybody to do their homework so that Sarah and I can do the compilation. So is a week before the meeting to not enough? I'm hoping it is. Okay. So by April 7th is when Sarah and I, I'll do my homework. Sarah will distribute the compiled work to all of the committee members. So if April the 7th, we send it to you so you can review for the next meeting, that means, Sarah, how much time do you think we will need to put the, to meet the 7th? Do you think by...
How about April Fool's Day?
Well, I'm going to look at Sarah and I'll work around her schedule in terms of that too. So if we're looking at Sarah at the 7th of April, when do you think we need to have it from everybody so that you and I can have it sent out by the 7th?
Does April 5th sound okay to you, Rez?
I think April 5th will work for me. So will everybody be able to get, we would be more than happy if you can get it to us by April 2nd, but if you need till April 5th, we can work with April 5th. Meaning everybody look at this, add your questions, modify the questions, get it to both Sarah and I by April 5th at the very latest. If you could do it earlier, that's terrific. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. And I'll do my best to be timely this month, Sarah.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay, no problem. And I know,
hopefully a shorter assignment, so.
I told you, I was sweating it, but I was going to be more embarrassed if I didn't turn it in than you guys all did. And I was So it was more of a peer pressure type of thing for me. So, so then we're all clear. Everyone does their homework on this framework, modifying the questions, adding some questions, and turning them over to Sarah and I by April 5th. We will then compile everything and I'll do it the Word version. Sarah will do the Excel version. We will Sarah will distribute it back to everybody on the 7th of April. And that way you have from the 7th to the 14th to review the document, those documents. Is that a plan?
Yep.
Okay.
And then Rez at that meeting on
the 14th,
we can do like a screen share and kind
oh,
of.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know yeah, what, yeah. You know, that's true. We can actually pull up the document there. And if we have further revisions, for example, after you look at it, you might say, hey, this is good, this is bad. We can actually at the meeting, pull up the document and then make mm-hmm. changes as we go along and modifications too, if you want to think about it. So, okay. All right. Very good. Dan?
I have two announcements I need to make, sure. One of which I thought you were making at the beginning when you said there was something very sad. But one of the great forces that made Oak Park what it is and enabled River Forest to be what it is, Sherilyn Reed died this morning at age 85 after a short illness. Okay. And second, if anybody here uses a Windows 10 computer, do not do the updates that came out on Tuesday.
Oh my God, it's too late. Really?
Well, okay. If you run into the problem that people are running into is after you print something, you get a blue screen of death. If that starts happening to you, uninstall the updates that were installed Tuesday, and they will, Microsoft already has pulled the defective update from its updates regimen. They're working on a fix. So if it's doing that, just uninstall the updates, and you'd be very, very prudent to always pause your updates to about 3 weeks after they come out. They come out the second Tuesday of every month. Wow. And you can always check to see if it's safe by going to askwoody.com. On their homepage, they tell you if it's safe. This is a DEF CON 1 situation of do not install the updates.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, good. Thank you. Thank you, Dan, for letting us know. Yeah, I already screwed that up. I already installed
it. Hey, if it's not, if you're not getting a blue screen of death after your print, you're okay. Wow. But if you are, now you know the cause.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah, so far so good. So I haven't seen that. Now, of course, now that you told me my computer heard that, it's gonna do it. So, okay.
So I also have an update.
Sure. Go ahead, Dan.
For Marie. So on the 19th of this month, the village will be sponsoring our second vaccine clinic at Roosevelt Middle School that Sarah has been a prime mover on, and Jim Flanagan and I have both been volunteers on, and we're still looking for volunteers. Okay. So if you're available from 8 until 3:30 that day, please get in touch with me. We need help with greeters and meters and people in the parking lot to help people in wheelchairs get into the school.
Okay.
I'm happy to help, Ron.
Sure.
We also need volunteers on the 30th at the Village Hall for the same thing.
For the second
shot. Second shot. Yeah.
Okay.
The 19th and the 30th.
Those are Fridays, I think?
Tuesday and Friday.
Tuesday. Okay.
19th is Friday. Tuesday's the 30th.
Okay. Okay. All right. Good to know.
Thank you. And Sarah has been magnificent on these.
Yeah, it was great. Thank you, Sarah, for that.
It's all hands on deck effort over here. So.
Well, that's good. Well, then, thank you. Thank you, Sarah. And I know John, Lisa, there's a whole group of you that are putting your hearts and souls into it. So thank you for that as well. So, okay, good. Any other announcements? If not, okay. Then next meeting will be April the 14th, and I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Okay, second, do we have a second? Okay, Jim, okay, roll call. Sarah, please.
All right, Ron Sherman?
Three.
Dan?
Aye.
Debbie?
Yep.
Jim?
Yes.
Lydia?
Yes.
And Russ?
Yes, and thank you. Okay, good night, everyone.
Thanks.